Hello, friends. It's your pal Mike Shea from Sly Flourish here with another episode of Sly Flourish's Lazy GM Prep. In this show, I go through steps from Return of the Lazy Dungeon Master while preparing for my weekly RPG. In this case, I am running the RPG Shadow Dark by Kelsey Dione of Arcane Library, and I'm running a campaign called The Gloaming, which is based on Cursed Scroll 1, also a Shadow Dark supplement available by the Arcane Library. This show, like all of the work of Sly Flourish, is brought to you by the patrons of Sly Flourish. Patrons get access to all kinds of exclusive things. They get access to the Notion notebooks that I use for my campaigns. They get access to a bunch of tools to help you run your games, a bunch of like digital tools to help you run your games. They give you access to a bunch of exclusive adventures, Uncovered Secrets Volume 1 and 2, a dedicated Discord server, a monthly Q&A, and a whole bunch of other tools. It is a really good deal to be a patron of Sly Flourish. And to the patrons of Sly Flourish, thank you so much for your outstanding support. I have missed 3 weeks of my Shadow Dark game due to various circumstances. We had 1 week where just a bunch of people were out. We just, you know, just one of those times where a bunch of people weren't available to make it, so we didn't have enough people to run the game. Then after that was GaryCon, and I didn't go to GaryCon, but many of my players went to GaryCon. In fact, many of my players played Shadow Dark with Kelsey Dione. So my players now have played with Kelsey Dione. I have not played with Kelsey Dione, but they did. And that was really fun and interesting. So now they'll always be like, you know, Kelsey didn't run it that way. When we ran with Kelsey, we played when she ran the game for us, it wasn't like that. I expect to receive some of that today at my game. And then the week after that was the eclipse, and I went off to visit a friend of mine in Indiana to go watch the eclipse, and we had wonderful weather, and I saw the total eclipse, and it was a life-changing experience. It was really, really cool. What a wonderful trip. So that was last week. So that is why we did not have any games for this for the past 3 weeks, but we're getting back into it now. I had to send a message to my players saying, where were we? What happened? Because I didn't write my notes. Here, you want a tip? Here's a tip right off the bat. I'm going to give you a very valuable tip, a tip that I should use myself more often than I do. At the end of your game, write down, there are a couple things that are really important for you to write down in your notes, either during or right after the game. Number one is, where did the game end? What happened at the end of the game? Just write down one sentence, one bullet point, something on your notes or something that said, what happened at the last part of the game? Where did it end? And that helps you get started. It's a good thing to review the next time that you're getting ready to do your prep. You could look at, where did that game end? And then you're off to the races. You can also write down any important NPC names. That's something I write down a lot. Or what are some important NPC names? And then what are some things that happened that you think are notable enough that you want to remind yourself that they happened, so that you can use those for the prep for your future game. So those are three things. Where did the game end? What are some of the important NPCs the characters interacted with, particularly their names, because it's really, really easy to forget names. And what are some things that happened during the game that you want to note because they are going to lead towards future things for the rest of the game? I didn't do that. And I suffered because we had 3 weeks off, and I played, I don't know how many RPG sessions between then, 4 or 5 games of other systems. I have my Empire of the Ghouls game, which I ran. I think we ran 2 or 3 sessions of that in between this. And then I played, I think, 2 sessions of my Shadowed Keep of the Borderlands game, my Raging Swan Shadowed Keep of the Borderlands game in between that as well. So I had a whole bunch of other games. And it's one thing to have a long time between a couple of games. And it's something else to have a couple of games with a long time in between them, and then a bunch of other games, because then my head is split into these different worlds and different things that are going on. And I'm like, I barely remember the names of the characters, much less like what happened in the last session's game. So that is what that's what I came to in this one. But I did ask my players in our Discord server and said, can somebody remind me what happened? And they said, yeah, you met old man Grigor and he threw my artifact in the dirt and we're headed to the well. And I was like, oh, thank you. Okay. So now we know where to start. So we are using Cursed Scroll 1 for this campaign. We have the map. Let's see. Let's bring up my map here in the lower. And they are, I think, right now at Uncle Grigor's hut, which is 710 there on the map. And they met Uncle Grigor. God, it's so long. It's going to be hard for me to even summarize what happened. They have fully, that's a great gory picture, isn't that? Oh, that's gory. I like it. They finished the whole arc about closing the portals on Undaluk, and receive the two elven orbs. I think they shattered both elven orbs, which sealed the gate. And then they kind of had a rest there. They were kind of figuring out what they wanted to do. Do they want to go back? There was some talk about going to Haldren's Tower. I steered them a little bit away from that with the recognition that they know that Haldren is somebody they want to go get. And they knew Haldren isn't at Haldren's Tower. But there was some that were like, well, let's just go see what's going on in Haldren's Tower. So there was some talk about going back to Haldren's Tower. And I was worried they were going to. And I was like, well, if they do, they do. And I'll figure that out. They instead said, no, we do want to go to the Vile Well. The Vile Well is 1606. So one of the things we'll do today is talk about all of the different interesting places they might run into along the way while they head to the Vile Well. And then we have to decide what the Vile Well actually is. I had some ideas about what the Vile Well was and what was down there, but I think it's a little too big. I don't know. I vacillate about what the well is, but I think I've already dropped secrets and clues that the characters have already received about what's in the Vile Well. So I think I might have to stick to that a little bit. So we are going to generate a new session planning template today. This is all in Notion. If you want to learn more about using Notion for your campaign planning, you can do so by looking in the show notes. I will warn that probably next campaign, I'm going to be switching over from Notion over to Obsidian, because I'm really enjoying using Obsidian for my game prep for my other games. My Empire of the Ghouls games, I switched over to Obsidian. And my Shadowkeep in the Borderlands game is now switched over to Obsidian. I just like using Obsidian. It's just a nice tool. And I'm not particular to one or the other. I think a lot of the techniques that I use can work in either, but I'm definitely have been enjoying Obsidian. So I'm probably going to, next game, I'm probably going to switch over from Notion to Obsidian, which is going to be interesting because it's not browser-based. And so I'll have to figure out how to do my Windows here and stuff. Anyway, so today is 14. Oh, wait, do I have a thing? Look at that. I got my macros. I have little macros that help me autofill in stuff. And that is using Spanzo as my little tool for using macros. Thank you, Nicole. Spanzo. I'm going to do that again. Do you see that? I don't have to type dates anymore. Oh, Spanzo. So let's see. We'll take a quick look at our notes from last time and see what's going on here. You notice that actually the date is a different format. Let's see. I think I have an L date. Hey, look at that. I have L date as well. L date does it in the old style. Spanzo. So they facing this. So we began the session with them in the caverns and defeating the Marrow Wolves and the Marrow Bandits and the Cultists, which they did quite handily. They destroyed the thing. They cut down the Marrow Portal, closed that up, and then decided where they were going to go next and began to head down. Secrets and clues, we can take a look at what I had received, what I had done. 70% of the people Warden would have turned into Muggle Blub. They learned that. So I got interesting feedback of that because the players kind of felt a little bit like, you know, hey, we made a choice and now Wardenwood is destroyed. And I didn't want to kind of make the surprise that, like, well, there's still some of them there. There's refugees of Wardenwood, but many of them had turned into Muggleblub folk because they didn't do it. So there's this question of, like, if you put a lot of things in front of the players for them to make choices and they make those choices, but then some of the choices in the back where bad things happened that they could have done, do you do that or not? And the answer is, like, you know, I don't put a heavy dial on it. I don't say, like, you have three choices and two are always going to be terrible. Whichever one you pick, the other two are always going to be terrible. You don't really want to do that. But if they make choices that have consequences and you make it clear to them that that's going to have consequences and they choose it anyway, then that's what happens. So there's a little bit of that. The Cursed Survivors have gone to Mossy Menier. So they didn't do anything with the Wardenwood stuff, and they're not headed to Wardenwood. So I don't think that that's going to be a big deal. The sky above turned into a violet vortex. Mountainous Teeth continued to grow. That did happen. Haldren is sealed in his tower before he left. Sealed his tower before he left to find the second artifact. Only one of his blood can enter, and Morrigan counts. So that was going to be a way that they could get in there. Many centuries ago, denizens of the Fae danced with mortals in the gloaming. The results were the Green Knights, the ancestors. This I think could be interesting because this is on the way. So I'm going to steal that. I'm going to steal that one here. And we're going to turn these into bullets. Let's take the checkboxes. Knights of St. Yidris trapped Haldren in the Vile Well. I think it was actually not quite as simple as that. That the Knights of St. Yidris made a pact. I think this is something that we're going to put in here. Made a pact with some demon worshiping orcs in the ruins of X. I forget what X is. I think what happened is demon worshiping. There's a group of demon worshiping orcs. And what's interesting is, like, the Knights of St. Yidris. I think we have something more about this. Underlook wants to ensure that Haldren's artifacts never fall into the hands of the cult of Muggle Blub. they would cause irreparable harm. So yeah, they learned about that. And that was kind of like, it's a little bit of a false flag, or a little bit of a false rumor, because Undaluk definitely, Undaluk doesn't know why Haldren was getting the things that he was getting. And he's afraid that Undaluk, he was afraid, and Undaluk said, like, hey, Haldren is now an agent of Muggleblub, and he was acquiring this, the Portal of Worlds, and probably some other artifact in order to spread Muggleblub's curse to even more worlds. But the reality is he's trying to destroy him. Yeah, so this was the Black Cloak is a portal to all possible worlds. In the hands of Muggleblub, it could let the Elder Evil Slime invade all worlds and turn into reality. Gwendolyn, Morgan's mother, created the Black Cloak and gave it to her husband, Haldren. She cut it from the night sky with the Obsidian Witch. They did pick that up. The well leads to the Shimmering Valley, an underground bottomless rift in the cavern, in the vast cavern. Weird spectral tendrils rise up from the bottom of the depths, which gives the valley its name. Yes, these were some of the new rumors, and I think I'm going to grab these and move them because I think they're useful. Haldren traveled to the village of Nighthaven, where the followers of Gidi reside. The Vile Well leads to the underground location. I think that's not true. Oh, because he went down here. Okay, yeah, here's the deal. The Knights of St. Yidris didn't seal him up in the well. He went down there voluntarily. Because he knows that here's the new secrets, right? Let's see, what's the location? Last Watch, right? All right, so we're just going to grab a bunch of these. Let's grab a bunch of these here. Grab these five secrets here, because these are all relevant. So, I don't know what the relationship is with the Knights of St. Yidris. I think we're going to kill that one. The well leads to the Shimmering Valley, an underground bottomless rift in the vast cavern. Weird spectral tendrils rise up from the bottomless depths, which give the valley its name. Haldren traveled to the village of Nighthaven on the edge of the Shimmering Valley, where the followers of Gidi reside. We're orcish followers, right? Decided that two villages of orcs. The Vile Well leads to an underground location known as Last Watch. Let's see. The Shimmering Valley, a narrow path along the Shimmering Valley, leads to an underground keep known as Last Watch, the keep of the Shimmering Valley. We'll just call it Last Watch. It doesn't need a... I guess it's demonic keep. This keep is the lair of the followers of Ramlot the Pillager, or Ramlot of the Horde. Down in the Vile Well is another village of orcs who follow Gidi the god. We already had this. So let's see. We can grab this part, though, because I think Gidi, the god of feasts, mirth, and wilds, reside. Okay. The villagers of Nighthaven defend themselves against the demonic worshipping orcs of Ramlod, who have taken over the keep of the Shimmering Valley, who've taken over Last Watch. The orcs of Ramlod worship at an altar to their dark deity, to their dark god, who holds in its hands a sphere of pure darkness and annihilation. Haldren, having heard about this sphere, went into the well through the village of Nightwatch, Nighthaven, and Last Watch to recover the sphere. Spies of the Knights of St. Yidris warned the orcs of Ramlot of the sorcerer's coming and suggested that he make a wonderful on their bloody slab to their dark god. I think that's a good one too. So that's eight secrets we've got. Probably want to drop in a couple secrets for other places along the way. So scene-wise, we're probably going to start with an encounter at old Grigor's hut, just to get everybody fired up and ready to go. Then traveling to the Vile Well. And there's some locations along the way that may be interesting. So they're at 710. I think we did this last time too. So Uncle Grigor's place, 807 is Kytheros's stone circle. 910 is the Barrow Mounds. Who would they... I wonder who these could be. Ancient Denizens of the Forest. So these are the pre... Barrow Mounds of the Fae could be there. Then 1108 is Marin's Hold. This is where Morrigan's mother was burned. Well, she was actually burned in a nearby hill, 1205. 1308 is the Meyer Castle ruins. They have a plan here. The internment of the Green Knights. 1406 is the Greywall Priory, and that's where the Knights of St. Idris reside. 1409 is the Wolf Cave. Undeluk's second portal. I don't know if they're going to go there or not. 15, the Corrupted Henge. And then 1607. So, lots of different places they could go. We can actually stick these in our locations, our little list here, just to keep us understanding. Travel to the Vile Well is the scene. And lots of different places they can go. Cool. We have our encounter at Old Grigor's hut. So one question is, should we roll an encounter now or should we roll it at the time? I think, you know, are you better off? Is it more interesting? I guess that's what we're doing here, right? It's like, hey, it's fun. Let's do it right now. So let me get my dice. And we'll bring up our copy of Shadow Dark. There was a really, somebody's going to have to remind me because I saved the link, but a bunch of people talked about it. And there was a really good thing about random encounters that talked about encounters that are like, you know, events that were occurring in the area and how you could have different random encounters for different parts of the events. And it was like, there's goblins hunting a bear who just ate a goblin, and then bear warriors who are hunting goblins who are hunting bears. And you could run into any one of those three. And then it also brought up the old school style, how far away are they and what is the motivation? And the how far away and what the motivation, yeah, they talked about it in Mastering Dungeons. How far away and what the motivation is are ways that you can really shake up an encounter list. And I like that because that's sort of like that equivalent that I had of rolling two encounters and then deciding what happened, you know, multiplied out, gave you the geometric increase in the number of potential encounters you had, was really good. But that idea that you can also add motivation and distance as two other factors can matter a lot. So we're going to go to the Game Master thing. We are going to go to random encounter tables. We are going to go to swamps. Hey, look, they have swamps. This is great. I don't really use the swamps. And we're going to roll a D100. I got a 68. 68 is 3d10 goblins drag a rotund hill giant in a makeshift sled. That's pretty interesting. So let's grab that. 3d10 goblins. This is the wrong one. There we go. 3d10. Let's do 3d10. So we have six goblins. Not a lot. Now we have an interesting question, which is the hill giant wounded? Is he dead? Is he actually, are they worshiping him? Is he the swamp lord? I kind of like the idea that the hill giant is the swamp lord and that it's a planikin, not a makeshift sled. That could be kind of fun. He's dead and being worshipped could be one of them. That sounds interesting. I think I want him alive. I like the idea that he's like the swamp giant. Where is the hill giant? Oh, this is the wrong one. That's Cursed Scroll. Go to my monsters. Take a look at the hill giant. One thing I have discovered is when the characters cross about fifth level, they are so much meatier now. They can handle a lot. So before it was like, oh, they were getting killed by all kinds of things. Once they cross about third or fourth level, they actually have enough hit points to withstand a pretty good number of hits. And their armor class is through the roof. And that's because they got some, where's giants? There we go. Giant, hill giant. They got some really good armor, and so their AC is really high. So he has 34 hit points, 2 attacks, plus 6, 2d8, woo, and a boulder. That's pretty good, and he's level 7. Woo. I like that. And he has come to Uncle Grigor. Well, let's see. So let's look at the motivation here, and let's roll the motivation table. I have that. Where's motive? I think is that on the front of the book. So we got some names. What is the name of this, or this guy is Dibs. I think we already have Mateo. Frank is pretty good. Frank the Swamp Lord. Swamp Lord Frank. I don't know how to spell Planikin. Hey, thank you, spell checker. I like that. Weekend at Frank's. So that's cool. Now, there's like a, here we go. Distance and activity. So we'll roll for distance here. D6 for distance is 2. They are near. And activity is 3 plus 5. Is 8. They are building and nesting. Well, they're coming here. I think the idea is they're coming here to talk to Uncle Grigor. What do they need from Uncle Grigor? So Uncle Grigor deals in like weird medicines and stuff like that. He could have, Frank could have a bit of a toe fungus problem. I want to put some pressure in here though. Oh, what if he's got some of the Mugdalblub's curse? He has the curse of Mugdalblub. He probably shouldn't have eaten that chewy orc that one time. The one with the skin, with the transparent skin. And he demands a cure. So that could be a fun, interesting encounter. We'll see how that goes. I tell you, it's hard for me not to lean towards making it a combat encounter, but you really don't want it to. Swamp Lord Franck has a really great headset. A really great headdress. Lean into the comedy. You think? So then they travel to the Vile Well. We will handle our travel scenes. For the locations that we've got, are there other secrets that we want to drop into these locations as they're going? The Barrow Mounds of the... is there anything special there that we want to do? They could converse with Kytheros. Kytheros, here's a secret. Kytheros is willing to call back on Almazotz if it's proven to him that the world is purified of Mugdalblub's curse. They could learn that at Kytheros' stone circle. What's happened to Marin's Hold? Marin's Hold is now under the protection of the Knights of St. Irgis, who regularly find worshippers of the dark gods and burn them at the pyre. And I think, does it have a name? Yeah, Boot Hill. Those are pretty good. So secrets, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9. Look at that, 10 secrets. I got 10 secrets, I got a bunch of locations. NPCs, we have Uncle Grigor. There's probably an NPC. Let's see if there is anybody there already at Marin's Hold. Skrell Demons. Marin's Hold. This is a secret. Marin's Hold is regularly attacked by Skrell Demons. These demons, however, were summoned by St. Yidris. We could switch up. This would actually be pretty good. What if we had the Skrell Demons are actually being summoned, a powerful demon at the cave, at the caves south of Marin's Hold. The demon is in league with St. Yidris. That works pretty well. There's some treachery going on there. And I think we had a Tarly Winters. That's a good name. I don't know what a Reeve is. Reeve Tarly Winters. Citizen protector of Marin's Hold. And I think she was like an underground protector. Reeve is like a mayor. Yeah, okay. Reeve of Marin's Hold, who's completely lost control of the town. And she knows about the corruption of the knights. Well, I don't know if she knows. Anyway, that gives her another NPC to talk to. What are these Skrell demons? There we go. Gobbling scabby raptor with rolling eyes and hooked claws. Advantage on checks to do the same action on a consecutive turn. That's cool. What demons exist in this? Balor, Glabrezo, Marilith, Vrox, all of the standard fare. We could have the Glabrezo with a couple of Vrox, right? Yeah. So there's Glabrezo with a couple of rocks at the old caves. Let's give the demon a cool name. There were names somewhere. I saw some names in the back, I think. We'll go with orc, half-orc names. 12. Olgar. So Glabrezo named Olgar at the cave south of Marin's Hold. Olgar is in league with St. Yidris. That's kind of, there's some fun stuff there. Treasure, we're going to roll. Session notes. We are going to write down on our sheets of paper, including where the game ends, so we don't forget that. We don't need this here. Uncle Grigor, Tarly Winters. We got our locations. We've got secrets. We've got scenes, kind of scenes, very loose on scenes. We've got our initial thing. We didn't talk about the characters. Let's talk about the characters. The characters we have, and we're going to write these down. We have Morrigan. We have Dazder, who will be there. We have Calum, the elf wizard. We have Lauren, the goblin scout leader. He might have trained. Lauren might recognize one of the goblins. They're like, oh, that's my old scout leader. Yeah. Yuralt of the Riviera. And Tribble. Those are the characters. I'm putting those in my notes so that when I print this out, it will work out well. Is there anything else I need? How do I feel? I feel pretty good about this. I got kind of a fun encounter at Old Grigor's. I think that there's going to be some fun exploration along the way. That if they go to Marin's Hold, there could be some interesting things there. They could learn some rumors. I think that all set. So what we're going to do, we hit this and we hit export. We just do the current page. We do not include sub pages, and we want markdown. We hit that. We will save it to our desktop. That is now a markdown file. And we hit our special game notes automator thing that converts it to PDF using LaTeX. It's fancy. And then it outputs. It worked. And then we've got, where is it? Output. Bang. Look at that. Look at those nice notes, all clean and nice and ready to print. And we go, bang, we hit print. I think we'll print it from, print that to our printer. So it goes in my cool notebook, right? I got my cool Trapper Keeper style notebook for running my games. I've got little, like this is the last week's sheet that's in here. It's got a little page protector. I got maps in here of places. I should probably, wow, look at those catacombs. I wonder what that is. We should look at some locations and see which ones I might need a map for. So of these locations, which one needs a map? The Barrow Mounds of the Fae does not. Marin's Hold probably does not need a map. We can just describe it. The Pyres do not need. The Meyer Castle Ruins, I think we have notes for that. We do. So I got this guy. I'm going to open that up and save it to my desktop. And then I'm going to open that. Before I waste paper, I should make sure I don't already have it. Gloaming. This looks different. These are like catacombs. I think that one is the... Let's take a look here. I do. I already have the Meyer Castle Ruins. I printed a bunch of maps last time. Meyer Castle Ruins. I'm glad I didn't print it out. Some other dungeon. I don't know what this place is supposed to be. I think this is... I should write this. Where's my Sharpie? I should write what these are. Move my keyboard so I don't accidentally do some stuff here. I got my Sharpie. And I'm going to write Meyer Castle Ruins at the top. Bang. This is, I think, the abbey. The priory. Right here. This is the Undercroft of the Greywall Priory. Bang. And then this guy is the keep of, what was it called? The evil place in the Vile Well. Last Watch. Now, the key to these guys is I don't know that they're going here yet. And it would be a waste of time to fill out all of the locations of all of these places until I know that they're going there. And I don't think that they're going there yet, but maybe I will know. Last Watch they're probably going to, but it's probably not for a while. But the Undercroft of the Greywall Priory, if they're dealing with the Knights of St. Idris directly, I will worry about filling that out as I go. Same with the Meyer Castle Ruins. So I'm going to keep these handy. The order which they're probably likely to go is probably the Meyer Castle Ruins first because it's closest. So I will just keep those. I will slide them into my sheet here so I have that handy. What is this guy? Oh, I got my extra hex crawling rules. Those are good. That's good to have. I will stick those in the other sheet. I probably need another sheet in here. I think I'm overdoing my page protector. I probably need another sheet and another page protector in here. I tell you though, I really love having a paper thing for this. It's fun. It's fun to have an old notebook with my notes and my maps printed out and my notes for the game are in there. It's really fun to do that. Sometime I'll probably talk. I wanted to spend some time with my notebook first. It's got stickers on the back too. D&D stickers. Where'd you get the stickers, Mike? Oh my God. Amazon. You can get them on Amazon. Oh, look, there's an inside. I could put more stickers on the inside page. More stickers. You can get like 100 for like $5. It's some ridiculous cheap amount of stickers that are all, they're all D&D stickers. Like some, they got a lot of official art. I don't know if they're official stickers or not. Whatever. And I pasted up the front of my notebook. And I really like, this is a good notebook. This is a good handy. It's a flexible, I forget who makes it. 5-star, I think. I don't remember who makes it. But it has flexible rings on it, like plastic rings that are high durable rings. And so it's really durable, but it's also like flexible. I put a little thing in the back with my pens and pencils and stuff in it. And which you'd think like makes it awkward. It makes it a little awkward. But once you open it to a page, it sits flat. It's nice and it sits flat. And you can dry erase right on top of it because you use plastic sheets. So I really like that. I made little labels for it. So I'm running 3 different campaigns in this one notebook, and it's working really well. So yeah, so I like it. I'm pleased. So I think I'm ready. I'm good enough, right? These are my friends. We're all hanging out together. We're having lunch together. It's low pressure, low key, you know, fun stuff. We're enjoying our games. Everything is good. So yeah, I feel good. Friends, I hope you enjoyed this episode of Lazy GM Prep. If you like this show and you want more stuff like this, the best thing you can do is subscribe to the Sly Flourish newsletter. It is absolutely free to sign up. You can find a link in the show notes. If you're listening to a podcast, remind yourself. I know you're driving in your car right now. You're stuck in traffic, just looking for a little escape. When you get to wherever you're going, look in the show notes. Look in the show notes on your podcast app. There is a link. If you're watching on YouTube, there is a link in the show notes, and there's a link in the show notes on YouTube. You can one click, add your email address, and you're subscribed to the Sly Flourish newsletter. You will get a weekly, this is all free, it's totally free, just an email address. You will get a weekly RPG-related email that talks about all of the different things that I've done in the world of RPGs that week, plus a article about RPG stuff. Lately, I have been doing a whole series on adventure types and what we can learn from adventure types, how we prepare them, how we run them, what pitfalls they have, and how we can avoid those pitfalls for like 10 different adventure types. It's a really good series of articles. You can also become a patron of Sly Flourish. That does cost money, but it's very inexpensive, and you get tons of stuff. I'm always doing lots of work for the patrons. I'm always making like cool tools and stuff like that. I have lots of different digital tools that are downloadable digital tools, so you don't have to worry about making sure I maintain them forever. You can download your own copy. And not free adventures, but exclusive adventures, Uncovered Secrets Volume 1 and 2, tons of stuff that you get for being a patron of Sly Flourish. Dedicated Discord server, really wonderful Discord server with a fantastic community that you can join. And the Patreon Q&A, the monthly Patreon Q&A that we do. Lots of great stuff. And you can pick up my books at the Sly Flourish bookstore. Return of the Lazy Dungeon Master, which has all of the things about these steps that I go through whenever I do this prep. Lazy DM's Workbook and Lazy DM's Companion, tons of random tables to help you flesh out your adventures. And Forge of Foes, where you can build powerful 5e monsters, but also get a lot of information, a lot of experience in how to run monsters, how to build monsters, how to run really cool combat encounters for even any fantasy RPG, even though it's focused around 5e, and all the fantastic book, fantastic adventures, locations, fantastic lairs, Runes of the Grendel Root, all of those are available on the Sly Flourish bookstore. Please check those links out. Thank you all so much. Have a great day, and get out there and play an RPG. Bye-bye.